We've been involved in church our whole married life. We have never been out of church. I mean, there's been times when it's been very difficult for us to do that, but we've always stayed very involved, very active in the church.
I grew up Catholic and you grew up non-denominational, and we would, you know, attend each other's churches, but we didn't really have a home of our own. And we would just clash. I mean, we could not come to an agreement.
Especially when it came to, well, what are we gonna do when we have kids?
We got in a fight one day about me taking the children to church. And so I was like, well, then come to church. And so he decided to come to church.
Every day, you know, you lift each other up in prayer and you just bathe your marriage in prayer.
We fight fair. We kind of set down some ground rules probably in the first couple of years that we were married, that we would not fight in public.
I don't remember the ground rules. But yeah, that was one.
We wouldn't fight in public. That's a ground rule.
Yeah.
We try not to ever bring up anything in the past. We don't want, you know, if there's an argument today, we deal with the argument today.
We never walk away during fights.
We don't let it go. I mean, if we've got an issue or a problem, we have to settle it right then and there.
When a person walks away, that tells the other person, like, this isn't worth it to me. I'm not willing to stay here and invest my time in making it right.
We might be arguing and fighting, but I love you and I want to work this out.
Listen to each other and respect each other enough to know that they have feelings and an opinion and it's important to them, I think. In a marriage, you're constantly thinking about what can I do for him? And he's constantly thinking about me, what can I do for her? Putting ourselves, you know, kind of second when it comes to each other.
We'll start to get upset about something and then we're like, really, on the grand scheme of things, this is really a big deal.
Well, we're going to talk for the next couple of weeks about marriage that works and what God's Word has to say to us about marriage and our relationships in life. But first, just one thing I'd like to announce, and that is that this Wednesday, we start a class called Start Life. And if you have recently accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as Savior, and you have questions about faith, or you would like to explore it more, please come on Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock and join us for Start Life, okay? This Wednesday, May 1st, you'll get to ask your questions and get to be tutored in the ways of God. And it'd be a great introduction into faith in Jesus Christ. It's 7 o'clock this Wednesday, May 1st. Well, this week and next, I'm speaking on marriage that works. I'm going to give you five commitments that I would encourage you to make as Christian couples, encourage you to make them to make your marriage fail-proof. We all want a fail-proof marriage, a marriage that will work for a lifetime. And I believe if we put principles in place, we have the greatest potential for success for that to happen. For those who are single, I hope you can take these nuggets of truth and place them into your life and start practicing them now so that you will be ready when the time comes for a marriage to merge these into the life of the couple rather than just the individual. I know many have been wounded in relationships, both in and outside of marriage. You might be in a relationship right now that's abusive, that isn't right, that isn't good. But God wants you to have a good relationship, a positive relationship, not only one that helps you, but one that the two of you will help the world. Is it possible to have a great marriage? Some would say no, and I would emphatically say yes, it is possible. But you got to work at it. You got to try. You got to work at it. A successful marriage isn't likely if you do what everybody else is doing. If you do what everybody else is doing, it's not likely that you will have the greatest marriage. You may not even have a successful marriage, for we understand in our culture here in the United States that 50% of those who begin the journey of marriage, it concludes in divorce. In Kendall County, the percentages are worse. even higher against a successful marriage. So, a question for you. What are the significant areas in your life, the issues, the places in your life that you would place a 50% odds on success or failure? I mean, what significant thing in your life would you say, well, a 50% chance that this could happen or that could happen, you wouldn't do your best to make sure you were in the positive 50% of that? I mean, if they said that if you eat granola every morning, you are 50% chance that you're going to get cancer, would you quit eating granola? I mean, most of you don't like granola anyway, right? No big sacrifice there. I mean, we would stop it because there's a 50% chance you would get cancer. That's a big issue. What if I told you that there is a 50% chance of where your money is invested today, where your 401k is, where your 403b is, where your IRA is, that by the end of the week you are going to lose, 50% chance that you're going to lose it all? Would you be online this afternoon transferring funds to a safer place? Yeah, that gets more response than cancer. More concerned about our money than our health, right? It's sort of funny, but it's true. All right, so if I'm telling you this about a 50-50 chance of a significant area of your life, which is marriage, the person you get to live with and enjoy for the rest of your life, I'm saying to make it as fail-proof as possible would be a good idea, right? Right, so I'm just making some good recommendations here. Now, insignificance in our culture, we have a lot of things that we have more significant than marriage. I mean, think about it this. We require our kids to go to these classes for driving, right, instruction. I paid out big bucks for my kids to go to these driving classes before they could drive my car, right, before they could get a license to drive, a permit to drive, and it cost a significant amount of money to get them ready to drive a car. But do you realize in our county, it only takes $10 and no instruction to get a marriage license? I'm just saying, something as significant as marriage, I'm just saying, something as significant as the partner you will spend the rest of your life with takes some good preparation. Take some good thought. So I'm making some recommendations to you today from God's Word to make a commitment to make your marriage as fail-proof as possible. If you're not married, start doing these things now. Start them in your own life. And when you're ready for that person in your life, it will be a merger together. The first thing I would like to recommend is that you seek God. Today I want to drive home this commitment as being a primary commitment that a Christian couple needs to make, a Christian single needs to make, to seek God. A lot of people aren't really seeking God before they're married. They are seeking a spouse. Some are just seeking a partner to have sexual relationships, and they're not worried about what God has to say about it. A lot of people seek a spouse, and they're looking for that what? Perfect someone. Let me bust the bubble, burst the balloon, whatever. The perfect someone does not exist. Patrice got me. I'm not perfect. You laugh, I'm offended. All right. The one person who's going to meet all my needs, the one person that's going to complete me and make my world wonderful, and sometimes that's the approach we have when we're looking for that perfect person, that spouse that we will spend the rest of our life with. And so the guy goes out and they go, oh, she is so pretty. She's so good looking. She's better looking than any of my buddies' girlfriends. And she smells so nice. Ah, She is the one. She's the one that's right for me. And the girl goes out, oh. He's so funny and he talks so much. He won't do that after you're married, okay? And you won't think he's funny either. He's so handsome. He's so strong. I think it's the one. It's that right one for me. Because what people believe is really that this person is going to fulfill all the emptiness that they have inside. This one. What I would just like to say today is that I would like for you to think differently. Because there is only one in life. And his name is Jesus. Okay? So what you might be looking for is two. But if you're a follower of Jesus, you have found one. And he can fill the deepest longing of your heart. And number two will never do that. And if you impose a God job description on number two, you will feel discouraged and disappointed almost immediately. Because number two will never take the place of number one. And number one is Jesus Christ. And he can fill you full of your deepest longings in life. I've taught this before and I will continue to teach it because it's true. When Jesus was asked, "Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" And Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments." What is the most important commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, body, mind, soul, and strength. This is number one. It doesn't say love your spouse with all your heart, body, mind, soul, and strength. It doesn't say love your girlfriend or boyfriend with all your heart, body, mind. It doesn't say love your fiance with all your body, mind, soul, and strength. It says love the number one, first and foremost in your life. And it is Jesus. So, for all the folks that aren't married, start loving Jesus first, and you will have a grand capacity to love number two in a wonderful, right way. Seek the one while preparing for the two. Seek the one while preparing for the two. While you're not married, above all else, honor God. Love God, seek God, please God. Live your life directed by his Spirit and not by your urges and impulses. Then when you are seeking a spouse, you'll be seeking first God and his kingdom, and then you will be seeking a spouse. You're number two. Matthew 6 says it this way, "He," being Jesus, "will give you everything you need if you will seek him first." You're seeking the one while you're doing something to prepare for the two. When you are seeking one, you are getting ready for your two. If you hope to have a godly marriage, be a godly person. That's so simple, isn't it? If you hope to have a godly marriage, start by seeking God today yourself. Now, if you want 50-50 odds on your marriage, if that's what you want, then do what everybody else is doing. Because that's the odds of the world. Just do what everybody else is doing, and you see what happens. See if it goes. See if you're on this side of that line or on this side of that line. But a marriage that works, I can recommend to you, start seeking God. Seek the one while you're preparing for your two. Now let's talk about folks that are married, that have found their second, right? And they're working together. I would say, seek the one with your two. Seek the one, God, with your two. Always seek the one together with your spouse. That is so important, that you two are working together toward a common goal of knowing that God is number one in your home, over your individual lives and over your relationship, and your relationship and your family and everything is secondary to Him in your life. It's so important. We often get that mixed up sometimes. Sometimes we make our spouse number one. Sometimes we make our kids number two rather than our spouse number two. And our kids take number two spot, and sometimes our career takes a number two spot and not our spouse, not our kids. And things can become very distorted when that happens. It doesn't work unless God is number one, our spouse is number two, and everything else falls in line under that. Because to worship anyone or any relationship above God is to create an idol of them and let them take primary importance and God to take secondary importance. Then you have directed your affection in an idolizing way toward an individual rather than toward the Creator. A human being can never fill the spot that God has made just for him in your heart. Now, if you're making a commitment to seek God together as a couple. Four things I always recommend is that you read the Bible together, you do a devotional together, you do some Right Now Media stuff together. If you're not signed up for Right Now Media, I encourage you to go to our website, sign up for that. It's your email and your password, and you can have free access to some of the most wonderful Christian teaching on marriage for your kids, for parenting that there is, and you can watch it right in home, right in your bedroom. You can just, if you got one of those smart TVs, you can just sign right up and watch it. It's great. It's free to you. We pay a price for it here at New Life Church, but it's free to you, okay? Read God's Word together, study God's Word together, pray together, worship in church together. Be around Christian couples that are like-minded, that share your faith and will encourage you in faith. But I want to primarily focus on this seeking God and talking to Him. Now, some of you right now are going, oh, no, John, you're going to ask me to pray. Not here today, okay? Husbands are going, I don't want to pray now. My wife's going to go home, John, and he's going to go, yeah, why don't you pray? So you're already nervous. I know. And I acknowledge that. So I ask you to try this. Tonight, when you lay down in bed with your spouse, just hold their hand and say, I'm going to pray silently for 60 seconds. And I'm going to squeeze your hand. I'm going to let you pray silently for 60 seconds, and then you can squeeze my hand. If 60 seconds is too long, start with 30. And just pray for your spouse. What would I say? What would I think in my mind when I can't say these words out loud? Bless my spouse, God. Give them the desires of their heart. I love them. Bless them today. Keep them well and safe. And may we always worship you. Squeeze. It's just not hard. And then maybe next week, after saying that prayer all week, silently and squeezing hands back and forth, maybe you could actually verbalize the first phrase of that and say, God bless my spouse. And then go quiet. Now, if you're a quick go-to-sleeper, it's okay. In that 60 seconds to poke your spouse and say, wake up till this prayer's over. We're talking 2 minutes here, folks. We're talking 2 minutes. Okay? We're not talking a full sermon from John. We're just talking 2 minutes. 2 minutes here. So go for it. Go for it. Try it. What would it hurt? It doesn't cost anything. It's really cheap. and it could save your marriage in the future to start today. A great benefit of praying together is it's really hard to divorce a spouse when you're praying together. You don't say, help me with this divorce proceedings, God. You know? It's hard when you're caring from your heart and from your spirit to let that happen. The statistics here in Kendall County are stacked against you. It's almost up to 57% here in our county of failed marriages. But Family Life did a research study a few years ago, and they made the statement that of the Christian couples who said that they prayed together, were actively involved in their church, were communicating and fellowshipping with people of like faith, their marriage was 99% successful. 99%. They're praying together. They're worshiping God together. They're involved in small group. They're involved in a life group. They're out there studying God's word together separately. They're growing in their spiritual life. And their marriage was 99%. What odds do you want? 50-50? 99-1. I'm going with the 99-1. Just saying. Second thing I would like to encourage you to do, I want you to pray this week. Make a commitment to pray. You say, well, I may have an unbelieving spouse who's not even with me here today. Maybe you could just lay and pray for them and tell them, I'm going to pray for you right now. You can either verbalize it or not verbalize it. Could be good, right? Wouldn't hurt anything. Here's the second thing I would like to recommend, is that you fight fair. Make a commitment to fight fair. How many of you have not fought fair? Nobody will confess it, but only me. But all of you have done it. If you are married, you have not fought fair. You've caught yourself, maybe. And I hope you have. But let me give you some ideas of fighting fair. Well, Patrice and I had our biggest argument before we were married. The biggest argument in our relationship was before we were married. I was living in Kansas City, Missouri. I'd been in the St. Louis area. And Patrice was living in Illinois, there by St. Louis. And she was coming over on the weekends. It was 3 months before we were to be married. I had ideas of how our marriage ought to how our wedding ceremony ought to go. And she had ideas of how it ought to go. And she was there, you know, arranging it and stuff like that. So she would come over and she would bring her stuff, you know, all this stuff. And I had been living on my own since 22 years old. And I was now 26. And so I had set up the apartment already the way I thought it ought to be set up, right? And it had browns and African animals and all kind of things like that. It was rather masculine. And I thought it was really good. And then she started bringing like pinks and florals and all that into my world, and it didn't fit. My elephants wanted to eat that stuff, and all that kind of stuff, and it was just there. And so she thought that my brown striped couch, you know, needed to be moved over here rather than there. And it was just like she invaded this space that was mine, right? And I wasn't sure I was ready to share those things with her. I was like going, oh. And Patrice had this idea that we had to agree on everything for our marriage to be perfect, you know? Well, we still don't agree on furniture placement. I just want to tell you that. But we don't fuss about it anymore. Sometimes she asks me, and I say, do you want my honest opinion, or does it maybe just keep quiet? Sometimes she said, yeah, just don't mess with it. Because when you say that, other times she asks, I tell her the honest thing, you know, what I think. It doesn't matter. But anyway, we were having this struggle, and she wanted us to have this that I loved everything she did in the apartment, you know, and everything like that. And I was like, oh, no, I don't. I think it's terrible. So we prayed about it, and we came up with this solution. The house and how it looks reflects the woman. The garage and the car reflects the men. Right? So I took charge of the garage and the cars, and she took charge of the house. I did save the spare bedroom for a while I was going through therapy and withdrawals from everything. I kept it, and I put all my junk in there, and then when we moved out of that apartment, I put it all in a box. It's still in a box. It's still in the basement. Okay? I thought I had good taste, and she didn't. How we handled it, it was one of our biggest, we thought, uh-oh, we're going to have to call this wedding off. Oh, my goodness. But all couples fight. We all have disagreements. Often they're insignificant. Healthy couples fight fair. Unhealthy couples fight dirty, and we're going to try to define what that is. Healthy couples fight for resolution. To resolve the issue. We resolved our issue, and we live with that resolved issue today. The blue couch sits that way and not that way at our house now. I would have it sit that way, but it doesn't. We resolved the issue, but unhealthy couples fight for victory. Unhealthy couples fight to win. My way or the highway. That's unhealthy fighting in a marriage. Dr. John Gottman said, it's all about how you fight. It's not if you fight, but it's how you fight. Couples, see God and fight fair. Make that commitment. James says something in chapter 1. Everyone should be quick to listen. Slow to speak, and slow to become angry, for a man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Three rules for fighting fair. James says it. Stop and listen carefully. Stop and listen carefully. In the middle of an argument, that's not what you want to do. Right? You want to express your opinion. You want to cut the spouse off. You want to cut the girlfriend off. You want to cut the boyfriend off and express your opinion, because your opinion should be the opinion that wins. Right? Oh, nobody will agree with me. That means it's true. We need to be quick to listen and listen carefully. It's not about winning. That can be loss if you win. Guard your words faithfully. Proverbs 21 says, watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble. This is not a scripture to use in the middle of an argument, okay? Don't quote that one when it's hot. All right, and don't quote me either. I just want to say that. Don't say, well, Pastor Johnson, don't bring me in there. It's between you guys and God, all right? Watch your mouth is what the scripture's saying. You have to ask the question, should it be said ever or should it be said now? Sometimes things, they never need to be said. And other times things need to be said, but right now, they don't need to be said. Well-placed words can bring about great harmony. Be careful. Five things you should never do during an argument. Never call one another names, unless it's sweetheart and honey and precious, dear, all those things, those other names. Fighting dirty. You'll never come to good resolution fighting dirty. Never raise your voice. Whew. It's one of my first go-tos. You know, dominate. Mom! Never works. Never works. It's always negative. Right? What do? Step back, count to 10 or 100, whatever it takes. Sing a song. Quote the memory verses that you got in your head about what God has to say. Pray in tongues if you need to. Something else, quietly. You know? Calm down. Never get historical. Well, last week you did this. Bad. It won't bring good things. 2 months ago you did this. Stick to the issue at the present. Don't do that. Never say never or always, and I'm saying never all the time right here in this list of things. So never say never or always. Lose those words, because rarely are they true. Never threaten divorce. That's a low blow. That's a low blow. Don't threaten to move out in the middle of an argument. It's low blows. It doesn't bring anything good, and it leaves hurt that will last far longer than your argument. It may last as long as your marriage. And never quote me. I already said that. Learn to handle your anger correctly. It's an important thing to handle our anger correctly. This is what Ephesians says. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. And you may say, what does that mean? That means resolve your conflict before you go to bed. Now, I realize you may need to stay awake for 2 or 3 days to get the thing done. But don't go to bed and wake up the next morning and pick that argument back up and take it to work and tell your coworkers how bad your spouse is, how bad your boyfriend, your girlfriend is, and you get a bunch of people, and I got 25 people on my side, and we're coming to the argument tonight at dinner. We're ready. We're fired all up, because they'll say, yeah, mine's the same way. And you guys will get it going on, and you'll build fuel all day long, and you'll resolve it that night, and don't pick it up the next morning and start talking to all your relatives about it. The two of you become one. Solve it. Handle it with Christian people who will support you and pray with you about it. But don't try to build an army that shares your view, because your view could well be wrong. I know it's never been, but it could be in the future. So do this week. They're easy things to do. They don't cost very much. Matter of fact, they don't cost a dime. Pray together. Doesn't have to be big. Doesn't have to be elaborate. It can be. Pray together. Secondary, fight fair. You may fight over whether you're going to pray together or not. Fight fair. Fight fair. Be kind. Remember, it's not about winning. It's about resolution. All good things come to those who will trust in God. God will bring good things into your life if you will put Him first. If He's number two and everything else in your life is number one, you can get misdirected and misguided. Keep the Lord number one in your life. Well, we're going to pray together today, and maybe your marriage is having trouble. Maybe you're in a relationship that's having a lot of challenges and trouble. I just encourage you to start by making these two commitments. Next week, I'm going to share 5 commitments that I'm asking you to make that I think can transform any relationship that you're in. We'll have prayer partners here at the end of our service today. And we'd be happy to pray with you. We'd be happy to get a marriage mentor with you, if you would like to start walking with someone, someone to help you along in that relationship with a spouse. And then also, if you say, wow, I want to start and I want to follow Jesus today. I'm really not into that relationship with God. God is not my number one. Everything else is, but not God. I encourage you today to say, I will seek the Lord first in my life, and everything else will come my way. Everything else that God has in store for me will come my way, and I will trust Him with that. Can we pray? God, we thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for the instruction of Your word. And I pray today that couples and singles will have the courage to take the step to seek You first. And then everything else falls in place. I pray that we will have a great heart for seeking God first. And then may we prioritize our spouse. And may they be number two in our life. May we pray together. And when we have arguments, God, help us to fight fair. Help us to seek resolution. Help us not to seek victory of our own opinion. For those maybe who have never sought God, never given their heart to God today, I pray today would be a change. And may they step across the threshold of faith and trust in You today with all their life, Lord. We ask that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.